am one of the few people that can look straight ahead with one eye while crossing the other all at the same time. Watch my eyes. I can smile on one side of my face while frowning on the other all at the same time. There it is. I also have complete control over the coursing. I know this will sound impossible, but could I have a young man, all right, come on up, son. Come right up. Careful, don't kick out the wires. Come on up. I have complete control over the blood system in my body. And this young man will attest to the fact. Now, you're not going to be frightened, are you? I can actually stop my heart. Okay? And it won't frighten you. All right? When you feel the blood coursing through my veins, will you yell out good and strong, "It's true"? Let me hear you say it.
It's true.
You got to be louder than that. You got to scream it.
It's true.
All right. All right, now I'm going to tell you exactly where to touch, okay?
Give me a few moments. I'm transferring the blood now over here to my left arm.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. There's such a lovely crowd out here. I wish I had a show behind me to turn you into. How many of you would go to see the show inside? If I did have a show, just that many? Oh, my goodness sakes, I must have given too much show out here. Well, thank you so much for watching my little bit of foolishness. It's been fun to entertain you.
I want to just have him do some of my favorite things that he does. You know, he used to also run what were called grab joints, hot dog stands and things like that, didn't you? Yeah, but can you do a grab joint pitch and a little bit of a grind for them to see what that type of pitching is like?
All right, they're all ready and they're all red hot. No greasy floors, no swinging doors, just like your downtown restaurant. We got two kinds of duck. Duck in, duck out, got lamb, ram, sheep, or mutton. They're all ready and they're all red hot. A pound of meat and a loaf of bread and all you can eat for a half a dollar. Hey, crowd up here, let's get them now while they're hot.
Can you show them, tell them what a grind was? And do you do any of the grinds?
A grind, yes. Could I have a little more power, please? Now, all talkers can grind, but not all grinders can talk. That's the difference. That is a big difference. Better cover up Sophie here. All right, here's a grind. After you've made the turn, this is what you'd say. Now, turning means I have convinced you to go inside the show. Line up there at that ticket box. Line up there at that one. If you need change, the ticket sellers will be glad to change anything except a married lady's name. Hey, it's showtime, circus time, where the freaks are. Where the freaks, where the wonders, where those strange, odd, and unusual people entertain. One word of caution to you now. You're stepping into another realm, another dimension. The world of the circus, sideshow freaks. Hey, you're going to see what they look like. You're going to hear what they talk about. Strange ones, odd ones from all over the world. Hey, we're jamming at the circus. Crowd up there now. Get ticket. Let's pay the big one a visit. Big show, little money. One great big happy family of freaks in there throwing beer cans at each other. Crowd up there. Let's go now. Hurry, just a little if you're going. A walk around the midway. You come back. Don't put a half a dollar on that ticket box because they'll laugh at you. It's only while I'm standing out here, once the line is broken, it's all over on the sale. Now, when a downtown merchant wants to have stimulate a little business, what does he do? He runs a sale. That's exactly what I'm doing. So if you're going now, let's go now. Oh, hurry, just a little. Hold up the show in there, will you? Give him a chance to get in.
Thank you very, very much. Let me just tell you right now, if you're interested in what we're doing now, you might all head over to the auction tent where there's an actual old-time country auction going on, where you can see a different aspect of American talkers, or you might want to go into the film tent where we have a film on some of the Main Avenue fish criers. Thank you very much, and we'll be running a tobacco auction at 1 o'clock in about 20 minutes right over here, and after that we'll be back on this stage with other kinds of carnival talkers and pitchmen. Thank you.
We'll be selling tobacco in about 10 minutes. If you'd like to come over and see how tobacco is sold, if you come over this way in about 10 minutes, we will conduct a short tobacco auction. We have what here, about 12, 15 baskets of tobacco that we'll be selling in about 10 minutes. Great. Head on over this way for the tobacco auction. Starting in about 5 minutes, come on over to the tobacco auction. I don't think that speaker's on. Is that speaker on, would you please give it? All right, maybe that'll help us some. The tobacco auction right here in about 5 or 6 minutes. If you're interested in the tobacco market, come on over. We have a gentleman here from Maryland that is in the tobacco warehouse business, and he will explain to you about the operation of the tobacco warehouse. So if you're interested in tobacco, come right on over this way. Everybody, if you're interested in tobacco, come right on over this way. Where's the people that helped us yesterday? There's two of them.
The tobacco auction is starting in just a moment over by the bales of tobacco. We invite you to join us over by the tobacco.
We're going to start the auction in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. We need a little bit more volume on the microphone. A little more volume on the microphone. Okay, that's better. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you today to the American Talkers section of the Folk Festival. And at this festival, at this particular area, you're going to hear many of the different kinds of American talk that you might see on American city streets and in American countrysides. And you're going to see on the row right over here in yellow the vendors. In this tent, we have a household auction that's running whenever the tobacco auction isn't. And on this side over here, we have some of the old-time carnival pitchmen. And we have a film tent over here with some films about some market vendors and callers. But right now, we're going to be doing a tobacco auction. And I'd like to introduce Mr. Buford Evans from Nashville, Tennessee, and Bernie Demkins, who's the owner of the Triangle Tobacco Warehouse, which loaned us this tobacco for the demonstration. And they're going to talk to you a little bit about how the tobacco auction goes and then run through it once and have you take a look at it and then answer any questions that you may have about it. This is Mr. Buford Evans.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do here, these three gentlemen are going to act as buyers for us, representing various tobacco companies. The gentleman here that owns a Triangle Warehouse in Maryland, it will be the starter, and I will be the auctioneer. And as we come up to a basket of tobacco, he will give me a start. And you may see him hitting me every once in a while, and if he does, that means he's raising the bid, and he'll be bidding for the warehouse. So we will start on with this first basket of tobacco. This is a fairly fast game. We'll go work through it a little bit slower than normally a tobacco auction is worked. Now, normally, about 600 baskets of this tobacco sold in an hour's time. So you see, it's a little bit of a fast game when you start selling tobacco in the warehouse. Some of them even sell more. Some of them, it'll slow down. You have anything you'd like to add to it?
Not really. I'm called a starter or sales starter. And my job is to put the starting price on the tobacco. Now, I have to watch the buyers on the other side of the road, and I know about how much they're willing to pay for it. If they lay down on their job, I start tapping the auctioneer, and every time I tap him, the bid is raised $1. And this is sold by per pound. And this is a farmer's paycheck, and it's up to the warehouseman to get as much money as he possibly can for the farmer. And it's also to our benefit to get as much money as we can, because we work on a commission basis. We work on a 4% commission. So we're ready to begin in a few seconds, and if you have any questions after the sale, we'll be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Testing, yeah.
$140 and $1, $3, $4, $5, $1, $3, and $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, and $1, $3, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1, $4, $5, $1,
We're selling in increments of a dollar. That's, in other words, $1.40 is $140 for 100 weight, or $1.40 a pound. All right. $140. $140 and $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10, $11, $12, $13, $14, $15, $16, $17, $18, $19, $20, $21, $22, $23, $24, $25, $26, $27, $28, $29, $30, $31, $32, $33, $34, $35, $36, $37, $38, $39, $40, $41, $42, $43, $44, $45, $46, $47, $48, $49, $50, $51, $52, $53, $54, $55, $56, $57, $58, $59, $60, $61, $62, $63, $64, $65, $66, $67, $68, $69, $70, $71, $72, $73, $74, $75, $76, $77, $78, $79, $80, $81, $82, $83, $84, $85, $86, $87, $88, $89, $90, $91, $92, $93, $94, $95, $96, $97, $98, $101, $102, $103, $104, $105, $106, $107, $108, $109, $110, $111, $112, $113, $114, $115, $116, $117, $118, $119, $120, $121, $122, $123, $124, $125, $126, $127, $128, $129 No, they're not many pounds for that. Let us have some room for our walkers, please. Just back just a little for our... Pardon?
This is the best one.
This is cigarette tobacco. It's 122 pounds in that basket. Hold on.
Pound will make it probably about 1,600 cigarettes, so...
About 1,600 cigarettes to a pound of tobacco. This is cigarette tobacco that we're selling. Yeah. All right. 140. 140. And a one, and a two, and a three. $1.35 and a $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10, $11, $12, $13, $14, $15, $16, $17, $18, $19, $20, $21, $22, $23, $24, $25, $26, $27, $28, $29, $30, $31, $32, $33, $34, $35, $36, $37, $38, $39, $40, $41, $42, $43, $44, $45, $46, $47, $48, $49, $50, $51, $52, $53, $54, $55, $56, $57, $58, $59, $60, $61, $62, $63, $64, $65, $66, $67, $68, $69, $70, $71, $72, $73, $74, $75, $76, $77, $78, $79, $80, $81, $82, $83, $84, $85, $86, $87, $88, $89, $90, $91, $92, $93, $94, $95, $96, $97, $98, $100, $101, $102, $103, $104, $105, $106, $107, $108, $109, $110, $111, $112, $113, $114, $115, $116, $117, $118, $119, $120, $121, $122, $123, $124, $125, $126, $127, $128 Is there any questions now that you'd like to ask about the tobacco? Anyone? Yes, sir. He is a warehouse owner and a starter, and the warehouse acts as a commission buyer a lot.
When I tap them, I'm bidding against the companies, yes. Right. They can stop and drop out as my tobacco. Oh, well, the last man that bids gets the tobacco. Sure, sometimes we buy as much as 10% of the sale, sometimes 2% of the sale. It depends on type days. Some days the market is sluggish and we try to hold the price up. We try to hold it, and it goes on another auction, right. Sure. Yes, right. This particular tobacco was grown in 1979, and it's an excellent quality tobacco. It's very light. Now, the crop grown in 1980 due to dry weather conditions we had will be a much heavier bodied tobacco, and the quality won't be quite as good as this. That's right. Mother Nature does the drawing. This is air-cured tobacco. This, you know, down in the southern states, flue-cured is cured with artificial heat. But this is, the whole plant is cut, it's put on sticks, hung up in these barns you see scattered through southern Maryland, and it's air-cured. And it's up to Mother Nature to give us the proper curing conditions. We don't want it too dry during the curing process. We also don't want it too wet. Too much humidity. Well, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, right. That's correct. Yes, that's a good eye. That's why those buyers are professionals. Of course, this past season on the Maryland market, everything brought $1.40. Just practically everything. I'd say 95% of it did $1.40. Color, texture. Yes. When, of course, we normally as a starter. See, we generally pull a sample at each basket, and the buyers do the same thing. We didn't do this on kind of tearing it up, but. But if I'm selling that pile, I'm already pulling this pile. And by my hands tell me as much as my eyes. I feel with my hands the quality of it. Of course, I just glance at it and see the color. And this is it's all snap judgment. And your first opinion is your best. Yeah. Well, Maryland tobacco is a very neutral tobacco, very mild, yes. And particularly this particular crop doesn't have much aroma. No, it doesn't have much aroma. Yes, Maryland tobacco is one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the finest tobaccos grown in the world as far as the nicotine and some of the other undesirable elements, you know, in the tobacco. So-called undesirable elements. I better be. It has less nicotine. Yes. No, I tried it when I was a kid and it made me sick, and I never tried it anymore. I grew it. I was born and raised on the tobacco farm. I still operate a tobacco farm near Annapolis. Sure. Okay, you want sure, fine. We put it on the floor the next day, or depends on the market conditions. If we think the market isn't quite right, we'll hold it for a week, you know.
You set a specific price, say, X dollars.
Well, I set a specific price. Of course, it can go. That doesn't mean it has to sell for that. It can sell for more. It can sell for less. Normally, when I set a price, I try to set it within a couple pennies of its value, you know, and try to set it a couple pennies higher. You know, well, I guess you call it speculating on it also, in a sense. Of course, we're trying to keep the price up. We're not trying to see how cheap we can buy. We do buy some tobacco that's mixed in piles, damaged in piles, that the companies don't want. You know, it has to be rehandled. And we buy those and maybe make money on it, maybe we don't. But our job really is, we're not in a speculating business.
What's it look like as far as Rhodesian tobacco coming back on the market?
I guess it never really went off the market.
Frank
with you, I imagine it was still grown, and it had to get the business. They couldn't eat it. And, if it does come,
okay. All right, are we ready? 140, I don't want to do dollar, 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 140 and a one and a $2, $3, $4, and a $5, and a $6, and a $7, 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 and a rental $1.50. You know you can't teach those boys a thing. They're getting the wrong line every time. When you call the name, it's sold. do the same thing. We'll be moving. 140 and a one and a $2 warehouse. 140 and a one and a $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, state. 135 and a $6, $7, $8, $9, American. 140 and a one and a $2, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $7, $8, $9, $8, $9, warehouse. Let us have some room, please.
You're going to put me on now, right? Right. Like this, watch this. We're going to do it right down here. We're going to bring out some of the entertainers. We're going to bring out the sword swallower, the fire eater, the snake charmer. Bring out the Australian whipcrackers. Here they come. It's going to be all free. Gather down as close as you possibly can. We're only going to do it one more time. We're going to have a free show here in front of the big circus sideshow. Watch what we're going to do. Gather in as close as you possibly can. Yes, bring out the sword swallower, please. Yes, drag him out by the hair of his head. We're going to bring them all out. Bring out all the strange, the freaks, the cure. Watch this. It's going to be all free. Watch the dollar. Watch the dollar bill. We're going to whirl you away into the land of mirth, magic, and mystery. Legerdemain, sleight of hand, and capable prestidigitation, where these self-same praises were done by Hindu fakers in the streets of Baghdad. Is that a real dollar, kid? Hold that for a second. Thank you. The second's up. Now watch. You take the dollar bill. Notice the hands. Move down this way so you can see. The reason I want you down close is when I lift up the curtain, you're going to be able to see the fat girl on the stage. Want to get as many people down here so you can see this. Now watch. Watch the dollar. Halagila! Watch this. You take the dollar bill, you wrap it around once. Watch my hands. As I perform these feats of magic, you'll find that my fingers never leave my hands at any time during the performance, which actually makes this a miracle. I had the pleasure of doing this particular feat of magic in Washington, D.C., before the president of the United Underwear Company. Now watch. Place it right in here like this. Watch the dollar. Bring out some more of the entertainers. Bring them out. Yeah, bring out the sword swallower, the snake charmer, and yeah, bring her out too with the great big snake. Not the bit. Yeah, that's one. See, now what I'm doing, let me visualize. You're supposed to have a great big tent here. You're supposed to have a 125-foot banner line. A banner line is a thing that these things are held on. They're straight up and down, and they go up about 16, 17 feet. I'm standing on the front of a stage in front of a show, and it sounds like this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, after I get the tip, this is called the tip. If you look around you, you'll find there's a considerable amount more people here than we had started off with. That's what you call building a tip. Now, ladies and gentlemen, after I get you down, I said, now, ladies and gentlemen, before I do what I have to do with the dollar bill. See, now you're all hung up looking about, what am I going to do with the dollar bill? Before I bring out the girl with the snake, you're waiting on the snake charmer. Usually bring out a fire eater. But what we do is we hang you up to hold you there so we can pitch. Pitching means talking on the show. I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you are standing in front of the largest show of its kind in the entire United States. Everything that you see pictured on that side and everything that you see pictured on that side, you will see on the inside positively alive and just as advertised. I could talk about the snake charmer, a young lady that has a boa constrictor snake. It's big around as the calf of my leg, and when she takes that big snake out, it'll send chills up and down your spine. I could tell you about Alex Linton, the sword swallower, a man that takes and swallows four swords at the same time, one of the most fascinating people you'll ever see. The fire eater taking flames, putting them in his mouth, gushing out a great big ball of fire like a volcano. The one I'd like to call to your attention is Kokomo the mule face boy. The lower jaws, the protruding teeth that look and resemble that of a mule. One of the most fascinating people you'll ever see. Fat Alice from Dallas. She's so big and so fat, why it takes four men to hug her and a boxcar to lug her. And when she starts to dance, she quivers like a bowl of your grandma's jelly on a cold frosty morn. By golly, if that don't make you laugh, something wrong with your laughing apparatus. Look it. You're going to see all of that and all of that. Now, the price to see the show normally is 50 cents, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Put away the 50-cent tickets. Don't sell them. For 2 minutes, don't run off and get yourself a hot dog. Go down to Nathan's and buy a hot dog and come back here later and fight with the cashier. You'll be entirely too late. But for 2 minutes and 2 minutes only, by my watch, as long as there's a line going in, the minute the line is up, the price goes up. We're going to let everybody go in on a special advertising price of a quarter, 25 cents. Freaks, wonders, and curiosities, the strange, the odd, the bizarre, the macabre, and the unusual. And that's how it used to sound in front of a sideshow.
Bobby.
Go.
Well, why don't you, once they stop clapping, why don't you tell them a little bit about how you got started in the first place, some of the first pitches that you ever did?
I was 9 years old, and I lived in New York City, and there was a guy that was selling Chinese water lilies. He used to take a little horn nut, it was they grew in China. You poke a hole atop, one in the bottom, in 3 days you have a green sprout. And then he was selling these on the street. And he was selling 10 cents each, 3 for a quarter. And I got to watching him. I was shining shoes at the time, and I got to watching him. And he says, "Hey, kid, do you think you could do this?" I said, "Sure. Poke a hole in the top, one in the bottom, 3 days of green sprout. You got, you know, three for a quarter, 10 cents each." He says, "Hey, good. Why don't you watch the stand? I'm going across the street." He wanted to have lunch. I think it said bar. I'm not sure. But he had lunch, and I sold the water lilies. And when he came back, he said, "You did a good job, kid. You want to be my helper?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Could you come around every day?" I says, "Certainly." So he gave me $5, and I threw away the shoeshine box. I knew that wasn't my forte in life. And I sold Chinese water lilies. And then from there, I bought some magic, and then I became a magician. And I was about 13. I was a pretty good magician, and I got a job in Hubert's Museum on 42nd Street. It was a show in the basement where they had flea circus, they had fire eaters, sword swallowers, and the fat girl and the strong man. And I was the magician. I used to work there 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for $21 a week. They asked me, did I ever get in trouble? I didn't have time. This is the truth. And the first opening I ever made on a show was on a flea circus. Jack Elkins, a big talker, very handsome-looking man. He says, "My boy, it's about time you learned how to do this." He took me by the arms. He put me on the ticket box of the flea circus, and he says, "Go to your work, my boy. You heard it enough times." And he went upstairs, and I think he had lunch too. But here's how a flea circus opening says sounds. "Ladies and gentlemen, if you gather down as close as you possibly can, Hubert's Museum proudly presents none other than Professor Heckler's trained flea circus. In this enclosure, you are going to see dozens of real live trained performing fleas. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a miniature merry-go-round. Tiny little fleas hitch to a chariot, and they actually run a race. But the most predominating feature of the entire show is little fleas dressed in costume, and they dance to the strains of music. It is, without a doubt, the most fascinating sight the human eye has ever witnessed. Now, there is a small admission. We don't apologize for it. It is only 9 cents. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football." And I had to collect the money, the 9 cents. And if anybody came up and asked for 6 tickets, handed me a dollar, I couldn't handle it, you know. I had trouble with the pennies in those days. Now I can count dollars very well. And that's how that went. And then I have giant killer rat shows.
Bobby?
Yes, go ahead.
Just a question for you.
Okay.
These people probably don't think those fleas were real.
Oh, they are real. Yeah, they're real fleas. A flea actually lasted about 7 or 8 days, and they used to feed them on their arm. Professor Heckler would do that. And to tie them up is what you do to tie them up is you take a singular strand of wire out of a telephone. You know how the single strands are very thin? Well, you take a single strand out, and then you twisted it until you got a loop in it. And then you would put it over top rather than underneath, because his legs had to be up in the air, put it over his front legs and around his neck and kind of pinch the loop, and then you'd have him upside down. And the fleas will normally juggle. They'll move their hands. If you have them on their back, they'll move their feet so they can juggle a ball. If you take it, they'll pick up a ball because it's something to grab on because they don't like to be suspended. And if you hold it on an angle, it's weighing on them, and they'll kick it off. And if you put them down, they'll crawl. So, you know, just tickle them a little with a straw. They could tickle you a lot more than you could tickle them, but that's the way a flea circus was, you know. And they were real fleas. They only lasted 7 or 8 days, but for that 7 or 8 days, they were stars. You know, that's better than walking around in a mutt, you know. It's true. What else do you want to hear?
How about the grind shows that you
grind do? Shows. I have a giant killer rat show in California. And I have these great big rats. They're called capybaras. They are actually jungle rats. And if you went on, you see this big show, Giant Killer Rats from the Jungles of Cambodia, and it sounds something like this. It's on a 3-minute endless tape, and this is how it will sound if you should happen to be walking by the show. Rats! Giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. More feared than a sniper's bullet. Capable of shredding a man's arm off in 30 seconds. It'll send chills up and down your spine. Rats that will weigh up to 60 and 70 pounds apiece. That's right, rats. Giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. More feared than a sniper's bullet. Look down in that steel cage. That's where they are. It's only a quarter, 25 cents, which is the most important part. And then I have a midget horse show. I have a little midget horse. His name is Charlie Brown. He's about 21 inches tall. He's a mutation. He's a little dwarf horse. And this is how in my show there. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. He eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. He's a tiny little fellow. Look down, way down, a pair of chenilles. That's where he is. Charlie Brown, 21 inches tall. He eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. He's a tiny little fellow. Look down there. You can pet him if you like. He likes to be petted. It's only a quarter, 25 cents, the important part. And then one big cowboy, I was up there one day, and he's looking down, and his friend said, "Hey, man, what kind of a horse is that?" He says, "It's a quarter horse. Give the man a quarter. Come up and look at it." And what
Bobby,
else?
To take your picture, they need you to stand in the sun.
In the sun.
How about doing your candy pitch? Do you do that one?
I can't do a candy pitch. I don't feel like I'm... I'll do Fat Alice for you. Want that one?
Okay.
Fat Alice from Dallas. She's so big and fat, it takes four men to hug her and a boxcar to lug her. And when she starts to dance, she quivers like a bowl of grandma's jelly on a cold, frosty morn. And if that don't make you laugh, neighbors, there's something wrong with your laughing apparatus. You'll see the fire eater, the snake charmer, the sword swallower. You're going to see the Australian whipcrackers, the strange, the odd, the bizarre, the macabre, and the unusual. A fascinating panorama of strange people, ever to be assembled under one spread of canvas. Freaks, wonders, and curiosities. That's enough of that jazz.
Bobby, what about, can you tell them about your dancing chicken act?
Oh, my tap dancing chicken. That is a heck of a... You want me in the sun yet? Oh, you want me down here? Just talk to them. Okay. Oh, I did have a tap dancing chicken. This is a funny thing. I finally got in the nightclub business. I got out of the circus end of it and the sideshow end of it. And I finally did a magic act, and I'm working the China Door on Broadway. It was a Chinese restaurant upstairs. I worked for a man by the name of Mr. Moy. Mr. Moy is a fascinating man. And I had this chicken I used to produce out of a pan. You know, you put fire in it, and you pull it off, and out. They usually take rabbits out of them. I had this chicken. So I'm up in my dressing room, and one day the chicken stepped on some tape I was using for one of my tricks, and he started doing this. So I put another tape under the other foot, and he did this. And I put them down, and he started doing this and this and this. And he started tap dancing, and I worked up a little routine with him. And so I used to go tap dance with a chicken after I produced them, you know. And they see me do this. And finally, I ended up working the RKO Palace Theater in New York City with a tap dancing chicken and me doing a miserable magic act. But I had more nerve than an abscess tooth when I was a kid. I was the nerviest kid in the neighborhood, you know. So playing the palace didn't mean nothing to me. But the only thing that really unnerved me was the fact that I didn't have an orchestration, which means all the music to go along with a, you know, a big orchestration. So a friend of mine who was an old vaudevillian, Dr. Lane, he says, "Son, come with me." And I says, "Yes, but who's going to write the music?" He took a whole bunch of blank music paper and put it in a fold, and he says, "This is it." And I says, "Lane, who's going to write it?" He says, "You're going to tell him what you do, how you tap dance, what you want to be brought on, and then hand Mr. Lombardi the empty blank paper and tell him you don't have any music." I says, "They're going to kill me." So I told him that, you know, he says, "I do T for two, take the natural breaks, I come on with Fine and Dandy, blah, blah, blah." And he says, "Hey, kid, why don't you make it easy on yourself and just give me the music?" I says, "Because I don't have any." He says, "What's in the thing?" I says, "Blank paper." So I handed him the thing, he put it on the band, and he looked through every, if he seen one pencil mark, he would have stabbed me with a baton. So he says, he looked at me and he kind of grinned and he hit, "Give that to the drummer, give that to the saxophone player." And he goes, "The kid hasn't got any money, music. Bring him on with Fine and Dandy." And before the week was over, they had the entire orchestration written for me. And I was very happy. And that's how I got out in the palace. And my mother, bless her soul, she's a wonderful lady. She bought me the first brand new tuxedo I ever had in my whole life. Brand new. Not even been used by a waiter. You know, a new one. And she bought me three pair of underwear in case I get hit by a car. They should be clean, you know. Mothers like that. So I finally get, you know, we're ready for dress rehearsal. Everything, the music is written. I'm pretty secure by now. And then they put this big spotlight on me. And this tuxedo that she bought me, probably bought at a bargain shop, it turned an icky color purple like it was in a window with sun hitting on it for 20 years. So it was all faded. I was funny before I opened my kisser. I look funny coming out there. And then with the dance, I used to break the band up. They could never know what to expect from me. Now, the dress rehearsal's all over. Everything is done. Now comes the opening day. I got to really go out and talk to the audience. I'm scared to death. I'm in the wings. I know that the suit looks bad. I know that I'm not sure. And Mr. Lane, they played my overture first. Da-da-da-da. I didn't go out. He looked over, he played da-da-da-da, and Mr. Lane gave me a shove, and I went flipping out on the stage like this, and then I got my feet in the water, and from there on in, I was an entertainer. And that's how it went.
Bobby.
Thank you.
What about, was it you who did the gimmick with the man-eating chicken?
I don't do the man-eating show. Oh, the man-eating show. Oh, yeah, I had a man-eating chicken show. This is fabulous. You got to see it. I had big billowing banners, bigger than this, only writing on it. Man-eating chicken. Weighed 185 pounds, almost 6 foot tall, the most fascinating sight you'll ever see. Now, they'd all get in there and say, ladies and gentlemen, get in there, and I'd have all these Kentucky Sanders things around there, and I had this kid sitting on the stage eating chicken. I says, ladies and gentlemen, isn't this funny for a quarter? Don't tell your friends about it. Send them in and let them have a nice laugh like you are. And there's a kid sit up there all day eating chicken, man eating chicken, you know. What the hell for a quarter, you know? What can you lose? You had a bite of chicken, didn't you? You know.
Did you ever work with, what illusions have you worked with?
Illusions? I don't know. I work with a lot of illusions. Why don't we do a blow-off opening? Or is that too offensive?
Is it? What do you think?
That they're monitoring me. I got to be careful.
Is this a blind? Is this no matter what's
a blind
behind?
Opening.
Okay.
Usually you get into the show and we have another door where you have to pay another quarter. Right? So everybody get done the sword swallow. I say, ladies and gentlemen, gather down close, please. After the sword swallower gets done working, we always have an intermission. We take this time and opportunity to present our annex attraction. While you're on the other side of this curtain, there will be no show out here on these outer stages until you come out. Now, everything that was pictured, painted, and advertised outside for your general admission, you will see up here on these stages for that one price. However, after the sword swallower is done working, we have our intermission. Now, behind this curtain, I have been in this business for a number of years, and I've introduced a lot of strange people. People like Francesco Lentini, a man that was born with 3 legs, 16 toes, and 4 feet. Betty Lou Williams, a girl that had her baby sister growing out of her stomach. She had 3 arms, 4 legs, and 2 bodies. She died in Trenton, New Jersey at the state fair. She was 21 years old. But the attraction I have back here this evening is equally as strange as the two I just mentioned. It is not designed primarily for the adults only, but we do suggest if you go back there, you'll be of a broad-minded nature, for it'll be presented the same way you see the palm of my hands. And if you want to see something bizarre, macabre, and unusual, that's what we have back there. I've gotten a signal. They are ready. If you would like to go, ladies and gentlemen, there is a small admission. I don't apologize for it. It's only a quarter, 25 cents. You give the quarter to Jimmy, you go in the back, and there'll be no show out here until that is over. Thank you. And then you walk away. They'd all go back there. And I usually go to the end of the stage and do some magic if there's some kids left over. And that's showbiz.
Are there any questions?
Any questions? Answering question time. Mm-hmm. What a way to make a living, huh? Is that really a person? Oh, yes. Beg pardon? Yes, I got run out of a town many times. Certainly. What kind of business would I be in if I didn't get run out of town? Yes, you get run out of town. I'll tell you, the times I ever got run out of town were probably when I was working girl shows, and we're not allowed to do any girl show material here. Sorry about that, kid. Yes, is that a real lady? Yes, that was Fat Alice, and she did exist at one time. Other question. I get jumped all over the place. Any other questions, my dear? By golly, you're a silent... Okay, then all of you, just give me a quarter, and I'll accept it. Now, I'm only kidding.
Bobby.
We'll take up a collection.
What other pitches have you done? Are there any other pitches that you've done that we haven't heard yet?
Pitches? Oh, I do a pen pitch, which I'll be over there. John's doing the mouse pitch. I pitched on burlesque and candy. Ever hear the candy pitch? Ladies and gentlemen, before the show starts, in every 2-pound box of Casey candy, there's enough in here to appease the appetite of any 2 people in the audience. But in each and every 2-pound box, we have such valuable articles as wallet with $5 bills in it, lingerie for the lady, binoculars for the men. And not only that, but with each and every show, we have 1, perhaps 2, Longines watches that will be in these candy boxes. There are valuable articles in each and every one. But in order to enhance these articles, we have these Parisian dice. You put the ace to the deuce, you see a single figure. Put the deuce to the tray, you see 2 figures. Move the dice back and forth, the figures move back and forth. By law, I'm not allowed to sell them. If I throw them in the audience, some get 5, some get 10, some get killed, some don't get any. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to call this souvenir number 1. We're going to put that in each and every one of these boxes of candy. I'm going to send the butchers out. There goes a box over there that has a lingerie for the lady. There's a $5 bill in that one. There's a man that got a pair of binoculars. There's one over there. By golly, there goes, and then they sell the candy for 50 cents a box.
Bobby, that was great.
And during the show, the candy was so hard. It was taffy. It must have been a million years. During the show, if you were doing blackouts and skits, they'd throw the candy at you. Yeah, you get hit in the head with a lump of that candy. And that was burlesque. I was very happy. I like burlesque. I enjoyed that. Am I finished?
Yep.
Can I go get a beer now?
Yep.
Great.
Thank you very much.
It's rather interesting. If you've never seen an actual country auction, you know, where they auction off stuff, they're doing an auction right now, and then they have a film in this army tent, because they use that because it's dark. And it's a film on different vendors, the different cries and chants in which they sold their wares. So there's a pretty interesting film over there. It's a documentary film, and it's very good on vendors and pitchmen. You might enjoy that. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. Enjoy yourself. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was wonderful.
Pitches that are heard on Bourbon Street, which is one of the few areas where we still have live entertainment shows, and it is the job of the pitchman working on the street to attract the crowd to bring them into the jazz clubs and other shows, which you can still see on Bourbon Street. Bud?
Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, dig me, I'm talking loud, and I'm going to keep talking till I draw a crowd, because I'm talking about jazz. Jazz is alive. It is down there on Bourbon Street where it is, was, and always will be. Jazz was born on Bourbon Street, and we still have traditional Dixieland jazz. Jazz born on Bourbon Street came up the river on the Mississippi up to Chicago, where it was called swing, and now it's all over the country. But we're down there on Bourbon Street. I've been down there, and I've been in a lot of jazz clubs all the way from Bangor, Maine, all the way to L.A. But when I came to the famous door, that's where I decided to stay. All day, all night, there's bound to be somebody who has a horn. Stomping going on shore as you're born. Jazz alive and well on Bourbon Street. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in close. I'm going to tell you about jazz. Jazz as it is right now on Bourbon Street. I work at a particular club called the Famous Door, but we have the Paddock Lounge and the Maison Bourbon, Mo Jazz, and Frenchies. People come down from all over the country and all over the world, and what we have is front talkers, or talkers who stand out in front of the clubs to introduce you to our wares, and our wares happens to be Dixieland Jazz. Now, the reason we do that is there's so many jazz clubs down there along Bourbon Street, and when they block off the sidewalk, or block off the streets, and the people fill up in the streets and all around the sidewalks, and they come by and see the different clubs, well, they all look the same, and the music sounds the same. What you hear in the background there is early Louis Armstrong, who got his start on Bourbon Street, and is the father of what you call Dixieland jazz nowadays. He was a little orphan boy living in New Orleans. One day, somebody gave him a cornet. He learned to play and formed a little jazz band, and the rest, of course, is history. But we still have that type of jazz on Bourbon Street now. We have Roy Liberto and Tommy Jefferson. And, of course, Al Hurt has his own club down there on the corner of St. Peter and Bourbon. By the way, how many of you people have been down to New Orleans, Bourbon Street? Let me see your hands. Great, thank you. How many of you people hate it when somebody asks you to raise their hand? Yeah, I know, I do too. Thank you. Would you cut the music off now? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I started to tell you how we draw a crowd on Bourbon Street, and I just showed you a little bit of it. We have another little thing that we do. We call turning the first trick on Bourbon Street, and this is how that goes. The object, of course, is after you get a crowd, you got to entertain them or draw them in and get them to come into your club because, as I say, all the clubs look alike. Well, I'm known as Bud Corey on Bourbon Street. If you've been down there, you might have seen me. If you're coming down, please see me. And if you like to talk about jazz in Bourbon Street and New Orleans and the French Quarter, well, you come up and see me after I get off the stage, or if you have some questions, just pop them on up. But what I usually do is I walk outside the famous door and stand around as the crowds are coming down the street, and obviously I stand out like a sore thumb. I mean, after all, if you want humility, I can give you humility, too. Underneath it all, I have humility. Underneath it all, Fruit of the Loom shorts. Three pairs for $2.98. You can't get hurt. That's what I do. But mostly I'll come out in the street and I'll say, I'm going to use the mic stand here because I got to use my hands. I'll come out in the street and say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bud Corey, and cards are my game. And I'll proceed to do a few card tricks. Now, some people don't like card tricks. Do you like card tricks, ma'am? Don't say no because I'll do three just for spite. By the way, you folks, if you see somebody handles cards the way I do, I want you to know you're looking at the product of a misspent youth. Now, I use an honest deck of cards, 52 cards, all playing cards. I use no trick decks or TV magic cards, but I like to do card tricks for everybody. And I'd like to start off with this lady here. Would you take a card? And I'll tell you what, you don't have to get up. Just say stop at any time.
Show it to your friends, but don't show it to me. Okay? All right. Sir, would you take the rest of the deck? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I had the lady remove her card. It was a free choice, was it not? Okay. Now, if I would have the lady put the card back in the deck while I'm holding the deck, you might suspect something funny. So would you put the card back when someone else is holding the deck? Anywhere. Would you shuffle them up? Sir, would you bring me back the deck? You did put the card back in there, right? Okay. Some people try to mess me up, you know. They take the card out of the deck and they don't put it back in there. Now, you got to help me out a little bit, darling. What's your name? Vicky. May I call you Vicky? I get off at 4 o'clock. May I call you then, Vicky? I'm sorry. I'm only kidding. That's what we do on Bourbon Street. We're a little risque, a little raw, but, you know, we try to turn it. You did put it back in here, okay? All right. Is it in there somewhere? Okay, when you see it again, will you be honest with me? Okay, come here. Just see your card? You see your card? You see that? That's it. Eight of hearts. Eight of hearts, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Okay, now, you might think that sometimes I'm doing something really flaky with the card, but then again, it doesn't matter whether I see the card or not. I still know it is. So we're going to try to do something a little different. We're going to let everybody see that I'm using an honest deck of cards. And by the way, on Bourbon Street, the reason they call me the Bourbon Street Baffler is when I do a card trick on Bourbon Street, if anybody suspects that I use a crooked deck or marked cards or TV magic cards or anything like that. I can't do it up here because it's illegal, but it's legal on Bourbon Street. There's a standard $50 bet. Anybody can go down to any store and buy an honest deck of cards and come up to me in the corner of Conti and Bourbon and say, do that trick I seen you do before with that deck of cards, but do it with this deck of cards, and I will duplicate the trick. $50 bet. We can do it down. But I'm going to prove to you anyhow that I don't use any duplicate cards. Does anybody have a ballpoint pen with them? Something to write with? Ma'am, you do? Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, that's all right. Would you give it to the gentleman or the lady right there? Gentlemen, would you come on up? Sir, would you come right up over here? What I'm going to do is just start flipping the cards. It doesn't matter if I see it, but I want you to get an honest choice. I want you to say stop at any time. Stop. You want to change your mind? You want me to keep going? Okay, would you mark that card somehow? Just sign your name, and I'm going to hold it up. Just put an X or a mark or whatever you want. So when you see it again, everybody will agree that it's the same exact card, not a duplicate card. Okay, would you have a seat, please? Oh, watch the wire. Okay, ladies, we're going to take the card, put it back in the deck, give a mess like that. Somewhere in there we have a card. Was that the card? Okay. So it's all digital dexterity. It has nothing to do with tricks or magic cards. Well, once I do something like that and give them a free show, after all, they figure they might have a show inside, too. And then I get to tell them about the bands we have. We have Johnny Horn and his Dixieland Five, who play jazz from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, still on Bourbon Street. And there's a number of talkers as you go down the street. There's Bourbon Street Eddie.